Why is the decree from the king so urgent? At times like this, when your head is about to go on a chopping block, if Daniel had said, "Why is this king's decree so urgent?" Chop. I don't think he said it that way. He probably brought forth a lot of humility and pleading. And he probably said it in this manner. Why? Now, there's this way. Let's choose somebody. Okay, I choose Jim the last time. Let's get Glenn. Okay. Let's say Glenn is Arioch. And Daniel could say, as Glenn can't come forward, right? And Glenn, can you come forward? Thank you. And take that big sword in your hand, right? Okay. And he's about to chop my head. And I could come and challenging him. Why is this king's never decree so urgent? Arioch would go. Shoop. Daniel could have gone. Can you lift up your sword again? He's not too tired. Oh, thank you very much. Daniel could have gone and say, why is the king's decree so urgent? Chop. You know, if I were Daniel, this is probably what I would do. Can you lift up your sword again? Okay. Arioch, why? Why is the king's decree so urgent? It's doubtful you're going to just chop somebody. In the first place, I go near him, so if he chops me, he chops his thigh. But, and sometimes it's not what you say, but how you say it. Now, it may look like a small matter, but let me tell you, 70% of your entire life's conversation is measured not just on what is said, but how it's said. Your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your children, your relationship with one another, your relationship between churches, between Christians, everything, it is not just what is said. Almost 70%, I did a research and looking at the various research that I've done by both secular and Christian about the impact of words on people. In fact, some of them go as far as 90%. Between 70% to 90% of impact we make with words around us in all our relationships hover around not what is said, but how it is said. And the difference can be producing a hurt or producing a healing. So Daniel was skillful, not just in what is said, but how it is said. And he had grace and favor. Arioch had compassion on him. And Arioch, you know, and in verse 15, then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. And then Daniel, in verse 16, went in, asked the king to give him time. Look, he says wisdom. He says, give me time. If I don't get the answer in 3 days, kill me. And I can, you know, I tell you, if your head is on the chopping block, if you don't get your answer, if you do not know how much time, I'm just illustrating with 3 days, it could be 1 day. The king could have given him 1 day. Could have been more. But if you knew that you're going to spend time in prayer with God, to God, and if you know that you don't get the answer, that's the end of the line for you, it must be a great prayer meeting. There is one prayer meeting I would like to attend. You know why? Because you must have the answer. If you don't have the answer, you are dead. Oh, if many Christians would pray that way, we have more answers to prayer. I can tell you the quality of our prayer meeting will increase 1,000-fold. Because when you walk in, you know you're not just going to say a prayer. Say a little prayer to Jesus, it's all right. It's all right if you say a little prayer, it's a quality prayer. But if, every time we come to God in prayer, sometimes we come to God in prayer with the impression that, you know, if God answer, will be fine. You know, if God doesn't answer, well, que sera, sera, what will be, will be. We don't come to God to the extent that, Lord, I really need this answer. And sometimes we kneel down and refuse to move. There have been a few times in my life when I've gone to God in prayer and I say, God, I'm not getting up until I hear from you. And believe me, He does test you and stretch you. After 6 hours, you know, the devil comes and whisper, hey, God never answered, you better leave. No, but I say, no, I'm going to hear from God. And sometimes God has kept me on my knees for 12 hours before I hear a still small voice and say, son, I will answer and I will show you. Or at least He says something. The quality of our prayers. Daniel knew how to use words. Now, David was a person who knew how to do those things too. You notice that David, you know, he did all the right things. He did wrong things too, but he did a lot of right things when he was fresh and young in the Lord. And all the people around him did the wrong thing. It says David behaved himself wisely. And he obtained grace and favor with all the commanders. He behaved himself wisely. Now, what's the secret behind all these things? Let's look at Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Here's the main key that make a difference in Daniel when he was challenged by all these other people around him. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors on whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then verse 3, here's where his grace and favor operate. Then this Daniel distinguished himself. Is that his way was far different. Distinguish himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Now this is the same Joseph anointing. Joseph was over the whole of Egypt after Pharaoh. And remember in the story in Genesis, the king saw that the spirit of God was on Joseph. It was so visibly coming forth from his life. The same thing here in Daniel. They noticed that he had what we call an excellent spirit. And that's the key that we are talking about. When you have an excellent spirit, not only do you know what to do or what to say, but the way you do it and the way you say it is miles different from what everybody does. And the word excellent in the Hebrew is the word yate. Yate. Is that how you pronounce it, Jim? Romanized as Yattir.
In Aramaic, where it's written in that particular part in Daniel, I have got a translation underneath in the
Hebrew, which is Yattira. Yattira, okay. So we Romanize it as Yattir. Yattir in my transliteration here. Yattira is a full usage. Yate is where in chapter 6 verse 3, because a yati or yattira spirit was in him. Now, here the word yate or yatera means excellent, abundant. See, what kind of spirit is that? It's an abundant spirit. And it's a spirit of greatness. Remember I talked about specific gravity in your life, the hem in your life. This is the outworking of that. Before a person reaches greatness, a person has a spirit of greatness already in them. It's already in them. You first have it in seed form in your life. And you bring it forth in the way you do things, in the way you say things, in the way you organize things. It's your way that makes a difference. Another person can do the exact same thing, but just different. But there's a way. It's that spirit flowing from your inside. The spirit of excellence. Yatira, yate. That comes forth in your life. And the translation is an interesting one because it's a normal word that they use for abundance, or translated in other places, exceeding. Exceedingly. And in chapter 5 verse 14 it says, "An excellent wisdom is found in thee." And that is in reference to Daniel. It says, "I have heard that heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and yatira or yate, wisdom, are found in you." Remember how we tie grace and favor to wisdom? Now, when one is wise, one knows when to speak, how to speak, and what to speak. When you don't have wisdom and you just have knowledge, you just speak. When you have knowledge, you know what to speak. But when you have wisdom, you know what to speak, when to speak, how to speak. Because your application of the same knowledge is more skillful. I mean, you could touch your ear this way, and it'll still be alright. You'll still be touching your ear. But you could touch it this way. Right. So, you could carry on the same job in a different way. And the difference between quality and mediocre is just that little bit of how you expend less energy for the same amount of work. Whereas one who is not quality, they expend so much energy with so little results. Quality makes a difference. Daniel had a great spirit of excellence. And that word excellent has also been translated as exceeding. That means it is something that causes you to go into beyond greatness. And is illustrated in for example, the fiery furnace. In Daniel chapter 3 verse 22. The same word yate or yatira. I just want to show how it's used in the book of Daniel. When the three friends Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego refused to bow to the idols, in verse 22, Nebuchadnezzar had the furnace exceedingly hot. Look at verse 22. "Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot," so the word exceedingly is yate or yatira hot. That means it's not just hot, it's very, very, very hot. And it was so hot that when they took Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego to throw them into the fiery furnace, that furnace was overdone. The moment they opened the door, all the men who were supposed to throw them in died. That's abnormally hot. And So I don't know how the events took place, because if they died when they opened the door, how did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in?